We now begin the sixth chapter of Pirkei Avos, and the truth is that Maseches Avos, the Mishnayos, only had five chapters. This sixth chapter is a chapter of Baraisos. They date to the time of the Tanaim of the Mishnayos, but they were added as a sixth chapter much later. We have already, from before the Rishonim, of Amram Gaon and his Siddur, already has a Pirkei Avos, as opposed to Maseches Avos, which includes this sixth chapter, which is called the chapter of Kinyan Torah, of acquiring the Torah. And its origins are that there was a custom to learn a chapter of Pirkei Avos each week between Pesach and Shavuos. Since that's 7 weeks in total, there are six Shabbos between the two, typically, and therefore the custom was to learn one chapter of Pirkei Avos each of the Shabbos leading up to in preparation of Kinyan HaTorah, of Kabbalah HaTorah at Shavuos. So since there are only five chapters in Avos, they added a sixth to make it not really Maseches Avos, but if you will, Pirkei Avos. This sixth chapter then is that chapter. It's the chapter of Kinyan HaTorah, and it has a prefatory comment. The prefatory comment says, Shanu Chacham Bilshon HaMishnah. The rabbis taught these 11 brisos of this chapter in the same style as the Mishnayos were taught, meaning it's in Hebrew, and the kind of Hebrew we have back in the time of the Mishnah, and it's a similar kind of style. And then it says, Baruch Shebachar Bahem Ub Mishnasam. Blessed is Hashem, the one who chose them, the Chachamim. He authorized them to be Chacham. The Pasuk says, Lo sasar min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smol. You may not deviate from what the Chachamim teach you. They're authorized to instruct the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are commanded to follow them, whether they say go right or left. The point is the Chacham are therefore authorized, and they also chose Mishnah Sam, their Mishnah, their version of the Mishnah. Of course, remember this, once upon a time, was a major heavy editorial decision what to include as the official corpus of Torah Shabbat Peh in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda put together. Okay, so that's that prayer is the opening comment. But now the first of the brisos here, Aleph says, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Meir said, Kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma, all who engage in the study of the Torah lishma, for its sake, we'll have to explain what that means, zoch l'dvarim harbe, he merits many things. Now, most unfortunate learn that the many things that he merits are going to be enumerated in the Mishnah coming right up. Maral learns actually that no, the things he is zocha to, the many things are the things, the brachas, the Torah, the plenty, the well-being that the Torah promises, like material well-being, if you will, and then the additional things he lists in the Mishnah after that. V'lo od, not only does he get whatever the Devarim Harbe are, let's say all the things that the Mishnah will list later on, Elisha kola olam kula kadai hu lo. It was worth creating the whole world for the sake of that one person who learns Torah Lishma, because he's fulfilling the purpose of creation. And by fulfilling the purpose of what Hashem made the world for, therefore is worth making the whole world just for him. We saw back in Sanhedrin, Hashem created a single person, Adam originally, and that will be enough. If one person can develop a relationship with Hashem that transcends existence, that is eternal, that is how Hashem intended, then that would justify all of creation. So if this one guy who does it, Torah Lishma, he fulfills all of creation. It's worth creating the whole world just for him. Now, what does Talmud Torah Lishma mean? So I believe earlier on in the Masechta, I read to you the Rambam's approach that Lishma means that you're motivated out of a love of Hashem and nothing else. Osa emes mneshua emes. He does what's right and lives in reality because that is the only thing that is real. That's Hashem. And he's driven by serving Hashem out of the Ava Ha'ru'uya, the proper befitting love of Hashem, who is the infinite creator of everything. Therefore, what motivates him is that love of Hashem. If he's motivated to learn out of love of Hashem and nothing else, not afraid of missing out on going to heaven, not afraid of the punishment that he'll get if he doesn't learn properly and go into Gehenna, none of that. He just learns because he loves Hashem, and Hashem said learn. He wants to therefore understand Hashem and come to know Hashem. That is Torah Lishma according to the Rambam. There are, however, other shitas, what Lishma means, and they're all a little bit different. The Baal HaTanya, who's like the intellectual grandfather of the Hasidim, if you will, so he says that Lishma means for the sake of Dveikus, that you are learning for the sake of cleaving to Hashem through probing and understanding the depths of His Torah, and everyone according to his capabilities. And the idea, therefore, is that what's motivating you, Lishma, is you want to be Davuk b'Hashem, to be cleaving and connected to Hashem, which is a more emotional nuance than like sort of an intellectual nuance. The Rambam is more out of your love of Hashem. Here is you want to be connected to Hashem. It's a little different, okay? There's other approaches. The Shla learns that Lishma mean that the Shla Hakadosh learns that the mitzvah to learn Torah Lishma is because you want to essentially know what Hashem has to say. You want to know, Hashem gives Torah and mitzvahs, and you want to know that so you can behave properly. You can transform your personality as the Torah mandates. You can do the mitzvahs as the Torah mandates. And since you want to fulfill the Torah, you want to fulfill Hashem's will as He commands it, you want to know the Torah for the sake of knowing, essentially know what to do and how to do it and what Hashem thinks about it. So this is more about the doing as opposed to the intellectual or the emotional connection to Hashem. It's more of the doing of Hashem's will. And then you have the approach of the Nefesh HaChaim, who says that Lishma means a love, not of Hashem per se, but of a love of Torah. Like you love the Torah itself, you love learning the Torah, and therefore you're motivated to learn it because it's there, you want to learn it. It's like if you have to ask a person, you know, what's so fun about driving a car fast or climbing a mountain or playing soccer? Well, if you have to ask the question, there's no answer to that question. The answer is because I like it. It's what I like to do. It brings me joy and satisfaction. Obviously, Lahav, I'm not comparing the Talmud Torah to playing soccer, but the idea is that Lishma means for its own sake. There's no outside agenda. I love Torah and I love learning Torah, and that's what motivates me. And therefore, Lishma means you, since you love Torah, you want to learn it to its nth degree, to its ultimate depth. So much that you actually can like leave your own chelik. You actually can have teretz to akasha. You can actually have your own chiddush. You have your own, you know, development of the Torah. So you're a part of the Torah process, and you love the Torah because you love the Torah itself. That's the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaya Volozhiner. Okay, now, what other things that he is zocha to according to most Meforshim? So first of all, Nikra Reya, he's called a friend of Hashem. Reya usually means friend. I mean that when you're a friend of someone, you care about them, you want the best for them. This person, like so to speak, cares about Hashem and wants the best for Hashem, and Hashem's agenda to be fulfilled. Of creating a world that can receive His goodness. There's a separate pshat, which is that the word Reya, like V'atel Recha Kamocha, Re'echa doesn't really mean your friend, often translated in, because friend doesn't work in English for that notion. Every Jew is Re'echa. So sometimes it's translated just like your neighbor or your fellow. The idea of a Re'ah in this context is like someone, your partner in a project, you know, your teammate. So you have a mission and you have, you know, people who are coordinating, cooperating, collaborating with you. And the idea here is that Hashem has an agenda. You're a partner with Hashem in fulfilling his tachfikid of the Bria. He has an agenda in to make a world, and you're his partner in that project. So a partner of Hashem, that's Reya. Ahuv beloved, this means Hashem loves you. Plus, Pesukim talk about how a person who fulfills the Ratzon Hashem is beloved to him, and this, of course, is therefore what more suggests for them being beloved to Hashem. More than that, ohev es hamakom, the process of learning Torah Lishma pushes a person to love Hashem, which is a goal all into itself, just the same way, you know, if you're married and there's a 3-day seminar on how to love your spouse more and better, you might go to that because you want to love them, you want it better, so, and more intensely. So here, by learning Torah Lishma, you are pushed to love Hashem more and deepen that relationship. Oves abrios, you also are moved to love other people, human beings. Now, why would that be? So a few pshatim, the pshat that I prefer is that a person by nature likes people. Why shouldn't you like people? Every kid typically like other people. You want them to like you, and you like them, and why not? People, however, become kind of bitter towards others and a little cynical for two reasons. Okay, one reason is because people let you down. Sometimes people just are sort of lack integrity or lack the refinement or consideration that you expect from them, and so you don't like them anymore. Okay, that's one thing. But putting that aside, let's assume that everyone around you were tzaddikim with integrity, so still you wouldn't like everybody, but why not? Because of your bad middles, because you have a streak of jealousy or envy in you, and you say, listen, why can't I have what they have and do what they do? So you sort of project that against them and you look badly upon them. Or gaiva, you want them to have a higher opinion of you, you want their approval, and they're not giving it to you, so you sort of turn it against them. The idea is, if you didn't have those shortcomings, if you weren't hung up with stuff and people's kavod and wanting other people to have, so then you wouldn't have that to project against the people, you'd have nothing against them, and therefore, assuming that they're decent people, good people with integrity, so why wouldn't you love them? You love them all. So the point is that one who's committed to Talmud Torah Lishma, he sort of is interested in his Torah study and largely to the exclusion of other stuff, he doesn't care about worldly matters, he's not really beset with jealousy and taiva and gaiva and the like, and therefore he'll be naturally moved towards loving people more. Umabashto anava v'yira, the study of Torah dresses him, like the clothing of his nefesh, of his soul, like midos are your soul's nefesh, so, or excuse me, of your nefesh's clothing, so he is enclothed and garbed in anava and yira, anava, humility. It makes him humble. He realizes what Hashem is and what he does and relative to what he is. That's what anava is, knowing your own place. So it makes him
more humble. And Vayira, it moves him to have reverence of Hashem. Now, that's a specific order. Anava precedes Yira. Anava comes first. First of all, it's a Pasuk. Anava comes before, it says, the Pasuk of Mishnah says, Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem. In the wake of, and the consequence of having Anava is Yiras Hashem. But also the famous Baraisa in Avodah Zarah from Pinchas Ben Yair, which is quoted in the introduction of the Mesillas Yesharim, and it's based upon that, is Anava Mevi'a Lidei Yiras Chet. So Anava, humility, brings one to Yiras Chet, to have Yira, to have reverence of Hashem and fear of doing Averas. So therefore Anava precedes Yira. It prepares a person to be a tzaddik. Tzaddik is someone who does nothing wrong. Okay, he keeps the letter of the law. He follows all the rules properly. Chassid is someone who goes above and beyond the letter of the law. Right, so that means he, whether to his fellow man or to his avoda, towards Hashem, he has obligations, but he goes beyond those obligations. You know, to give to the benefit of the other one, so to speak. The Yashar. Now, a Yashar is better than a Tzaddik, but actually less than a Chassid, and that prompts some questions which may not have answers to, which is why the Mishnah gave Yashar after Chassid. A Yashar is someone who's straight. That means he has integrity, and he has a natural sense of what's right and wrong on the inside, right? He has a moral compass, which he's like a, you know, his system is straight. You know, someone like straight as an arrow, it means they wouldn't do something wrong. They have you in mind, and that also implies with his Benam Lechavero towards other people, he sort of would err to the side of compromise or to give to the other person. You know, if he's not sure, you know, if you're in a business deal, you're not sure where this item go to you or to me, the Yashar person will certainly say, okay, so I'll give it to you. He doesn't want it. So he's like, that's Lifnim Mishur Sadin, but towards other people, as opposed to towards Hashem, not necessarily towards Hashem. So the idea is that the Yashar person is, Benon L'Chavero is above and beyond. Okay, that's a Yashar. And v'ne'eman, ne'eman means someone who is reliable or trustworthy. It's a different thing, but it's certainly a great level. There's someone who Hashem could rely upon, and you could rely upon them. There is a pshat that the ne'eman here has to do with like me'mav ne'emanim, a pasuk in Yishai, that the water kept on flowing without stopping. The idea is that someone, he learns that Torah, he learns Torah l'shma, he can like hold on to his madriga and not falter. Okay, umrachakto minachet, it pushes him away, distances him from sin. Umakarvato lidei zuchus, and it pushes him towards zuchus, towards merit. So again, the same way in the previous line of the Mishnah, it says machsharto, it is machshir, readies a person to be a tzaddik or a chassid or a yashar or a neman. It doesn't make you a tzaddik or a chassid or a yashar or a neman, because to be a tzaddik, etc., requires bechira. You have to make the right decisions. And Talmud Torah doesn't make you make decisions. It just readies you to make the right decisions. Still, ultimately, you have bechira and you have to make those decisions. So unlike the previous parts of the Mishnah, which it says it gives confers these benefits on you, you become beloved to Hashem and you love Hashem and so on. This is just, you still have to make your be a tzaddik for your own bechira, but it readies you for that. It makes you primed to make the right decisions. So now we're saying beyond priming to make the right decisions, it kind of preemptively pushes, like if you're a Torah Lishma oriented person, it will keep you far from sin and bring you close to merit. How does that work? So, you know, I'll tell you my mashal. If you see, you know, if you know a person who says, okay, I'm going to start going to the gym, I need to get into shape. Okay, so his commitment is to be a gym person, a fitness person. But once he starts going, if you've ever seen it, what happens is inevitably they start going to the gym. And the next thing you know, they don't just stay a fitness person, a gym person, they become like a health person. And all of a sudden they transform their diet as well and how they sleep and so on. So what happens is that you start out oriented towards one thing, but it's a package. It brings you to a whole different kind of identity, different kind of lifestyle. So the idea, the same way, a person who starts out being a gym person becomes like a health person. A person who's a Torah Lishma person will be brought to like, be dragged into other things that are merits. So it's mekarevim, it brings them close to zchus, to merits. And also he just has less of an appetite for chet, so it pushes them away. Then you have v'nehenin mimenu eitza utushia bina ugvura. Other people benefit from him in these four ways. Eitza, the pasuk says shenemar. This actually is based on a pasuk. The pasuk says li eitza utushia. Me, the Torah speaking to me, there is eitza is advice, teshua is like Torah wisdom, anivina I'm understanding, li gvura I have strength. The idea here is that Eitza has to do with like worldly matters, advising and counsel, good counsel regarding worldly matters. So if a person is Torah Lishma, he becomes wise, understands things, he becomes perceptive. So when people ask him advice about other things, he'll be helpful to them. Okay, other things besides Torah. Then Tushia is Torah itself, meaning he's a Torah Lishma learner, he knows the stuff. So therefore, if you have a Kasha on a Gemara, you understand Pshat and Rashi, he's your man. So therefore, he can give you also Torah advice also. Bina, this means in general, his mind is sharpened, so he's got understanding in all things. He's like a perceptive, insightful person. And Gvura means that he, you know, has the capacity to sort of resist sin. So the point is, again, other people benefit from him. So in other words, they draw strength from him. They get inspired by him to marshal their own inner strength to resist sin. Okay, that's that. Venosenis lo malchus umemshala. It gives him malchus. This is like power. Literally means kingship. But the point is that people look to him and they say that's a regal person, the big rav, and they admire that and they sort of give him. They let him have authority. And umemshala means power. That means the authority is that if he says something, people do it. So he has like he can. That's not just authority but power. Okay. So by being the Torah Lishma person, people look to him for guidance, they admire him, and he can actually give instruction, and they will follow it. Then v'chikor din, he'll be able to plumb the depths of like a din Torah to understand what's happening and paskin correctly if he's acting as a dayan. Umagan lo raze Torah, and from heaven they arrange that he should be revealed to him the secrets of the Torah. This is like the Kabbalistic elements of the Torah, such as Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, etc. V'nase kamayan ha-misgaber, he'll become like a spring of water that is mitgaber, self-strengthening, meaning he's like never runs out of new ideas and insights in Torah, he's self-strengthening. And kanahar she'eno posek, like a river that never ends. The idea here is that, you know, if you are replete, full of Torah, so you'll teach other people, and they'll teach your ideas, and it passes on and on and on. So the point is that his influence will flow on past himself to others, and again, more and more. Vevi tsanua, he'll be tsanua. Tsanua means he'll be dignified. Okay, tsnia says dignity. The idea here is that it pushes him to want to be a tsanua, to be comport himself in a modest way, in a dignified way, in a humble way, because he understands who he is relative to Hashem, so he becomes a dignified person. The erech ruach. Erech ruach means someone who is not easily angered. He's a calm person. He's a patient person. Okay, erech means like lengthening of ruach, his spirit. So this really is similar to the expression erech apayim, also which means kind of patient. The difference is that erech ruach is even a higher madriga. Erech apayim means that he doesn't get angry. Erech ruach means even if a person, you know, could get angry, so he can get angry on the inside, but on the outside doesn't show it. So that would be Erech Apayim. It takes long before his like face demonstrates his frustration. Whereas Erech Ruach means on the inside, his actual spirit doesn't get flustered. He's much more difficult to upset. He becomes a calmer, happier, more difficult to frustrate, irritate person. Umochel al elbono, he's forgiving of his... When people insult him, injure him, so he's ma'avir al midoso, he overlooks it, even though but he's within his right to get upset. He just overlooks and moves on. Doesn't get upset or retaliate against people, even when they do something terrible to him. Okay, he rises above that. He's sort of like a elevated person. Umegadalto umermamto al kol hamasim. It's megadal him. It makes him great, and meromem, it elevates him over all of creation. Meaning the point here is that he becomes like a pinnacle of existence, because he is the person who's connected to Hashem, and that sanctifies him. That makes him be sort of the top of the pile in terms of what existence is meant to be. And in a way, like everything kind of is arranged in terms of hashkacha and providence to serve him, to come to arrange to meet his needs, because he really is becoming like a centerpiece of the existence. He is the Loman Lishma. He's learning, and the world is put here for him. And all of us, the rest of us, have a supporting role to play. We also have a role to play, and we also have a zechus, and it's our zechus to whatever we do plus to support him. But the point is that he becomes like a primary actor in existence because he fulfills the purpose of existence, and therefore he is, in a way, he elevates himself above all of creation.